It's called the invisible crime, illegal microchip implants and microwave technology and their use against humanity. Michael Fitzhugh Bell joins us next on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast to Coast. Michael Fitzhugh Bell is the author of a story called The Invisible Crime, Illegal Microchip Implants and Microwave Technology and Their Use Against Humanity, something that has happened to him. Michael, welcome to Coast to Coast.
George, nice to be here. It's nice to be back again. Thank you for having me.
It's been a while. So yes. Let's go back and talk about your story, because your story is critical to the work you did, the invisible crime, and what might be happening to a lot of other individuals all around this planet.
I would say that, well, if I'll just tell you my story quickly.
Okay.
Synopsis. I was living in Los Angeles for several years as an aspiring screenwriter, and I was just beginning to get the notice of top literary agencies and top studios that were beginning to be interested in my work when I became a targeted individual. And it started with organized stalking, which we'll get into a little bit later, hopefully. But what happened was this crime progressed, and it culminated in me being drugged and abducted from an apartment that I had in Los Angeles, and I was taken from my apartment in the middle of the night while I was sleeping, drugged and abducted. I remember the criminals, I remember them wearing frightening masks at one point during the abduction, and then also I remember lying on an operating table with surgeons standing over me wearing surgical masks. And then I was returned to my apartment, where I woke up thinking it was the next morning, but it was a week later. And I noticed that my body was riddled with these corresponding and symmetrical tiny surgical incision scars all over my body. And I didn't really know what happened to me. So I consulted several private investigators, and I also spoke to an ex-CIA agent that all told me that what sounded like what was happening to me was that I was what is termed as a targeted individual, and that is, there's a strong possibility that I may have been implanted with advanced nanotechnology biomedical devices. So I went to doctors around this country, and I couldn't get people to give me the imaging that I was requesting. So I literally had to travel around the world collecting medical evidence, MRIs, ultrasounds, X-rays, and all of them show these foreign objects directly underneath the scars, these covert surgery scars that I found in my body. And I include all these pictures in the book, and all of the verified, documented doctor's reports, and I also tell people where they can find the scars on their body and what they look like. Since I wrote the book, over 95% of the people that I've examined, whether they're targeted individuals, whether they're just regular people that are not targeted, or even the perpetrators, the criminals themselves, all of them have the trademark telltale pattern of covert surgery scars. Most of them don't even know that they're there until I make them aware of them.
Have you come up with the rationale, Michael, why you? And why so many other people, I guess, but why you?
It's never been made clear to me, George, why I was chosen, why I was selected. But I can tell you that I probably fit a demographic that would lend itself toward becoming targeted. I've never been married. I don't have any children. I was a writer that spent much of my time by myself in my apartment.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't have a regular job that people would miss me at. I don't have any pets. So I'm the perfect person to take, certainly to abduct, and I wouldn't be missed. People didn't miss me. I had a lot of phone calls while I was gone for that week, but not like is if I had a family and a job that were missing me and wondering where I was.
And you said that originally you tried to get doctors to get you the right tests so you could prove this or find
That's
this.
Right.
They did not believe you, I take it.
That's correct. In fact, when it first happened to me, I was where I lived in Beverly Hills in the Hollywood area in Los Angeles. I started walking the morning after it happened, which I thought was the next morning, but really it was a week later from the time that the first abduction that I had. I had many abductions, as I spoke of in the book, but I started going to the police station to tell them what happened, but then I realized that they're going to ask me, where's your proof? Do you have any proof? And I could still feel the remnants of the drug that they'd given me in my system. It was still very strong, and I figured if I went to the emergency room, perhaps I could get a blood test from what one of the private investigators that I consulted with told me to have a specific test for a drug called scopolamine, or devil's breath, which is often used for abductions because it gives the victim complete amnesia. But when I went to the emergency room and made the mistake of telling them the truth of what had happened to me, they locked me up. And when I was locked up in this psychiatric evaluation center for 2 weeks, that's where additional surgeries were done to me.
What do you think the intent and the purpose might be, Michael, for these microchipping?
I can tell you that what's widely believed and reported to be is that these implants are allowing the criminals or the people that are in charge on the other end of this technology. These are classified technologies, George. These are not just regular, everyday technologies. They're highly secretive, classified technologies, and it's believed that it allows the perpetrators the ability to view, monitor, track, harass, and torture the targeted individual, the victim, remotely.
Wow.
And also the ability, it's also believed that one of the technologies that's being used is what's termed as a bidirectional human mind to machine interface weapon system technology, in which information, brain decoding, information from the person's brain can be read in real time, as well as information being put back into that person's brain in real time.
A lot of people claim, Michael, that they're abducted by extraterrestrials and they're implanted with things as well. Is it possible that it's just being done by humans, by governments, and these people think it's an extraterrestrial event?
That's certainly a real possibility, George. It's very, very possible that the aliens' story and that is being used as a cover or and a cover up to really hide what the government is doing to its own citizens. And the government has a long history of experimenting on its own citizens. Going all the way back, I mean, especially with this program, if you look at the MK Ultra program,
yeah, exactly,
the CIA program, and this is back in the 70s before it was shut down in the 70s, that involved microchip implants, trigger words, mind control, and that was nearly 50 years ago, and that program was shut down, but really, it really was never shut down. It went further underground, is what people believe.
How many microchips or implants have you had?
Well, I have the scars. Every place that I've had MRI'd or ultrasounded, and I had to travel all over the world, Europe, Mexico, Canada, all over the United States, traveling around collecting evidence, and I have over 250 of these tiny surgical incision scars, and most of them, the ones that I had imaged, show a foreign object. So I would imagine that it's quite possible that every single scar that I have has some form of technology in it, whether it's an actual biomedical device or perhaps even an antenna or some kind of transmitter. It's also believed that there's more than one type of implant that's being used. There is seems to be a variety of implants that are being used, but what I wanted to say was the newest research that I have is quite frightening. It's now estimated that 50% of Americans have already been implanted with RFID technology without their permission, without their consent, and without their knowledge.
50%?
50%. That's what's estimated. One out of every two Americans, without their knowledge, without their permission, without their consent. And I can tell the listeners today that either don't know about this crime or don't believe in it or...
So half my audience. You're saying half my audience has been implanted.
I would say certainly in my experience and all the people that I've examined, well over 95% of the people that I have examined since I wrote the book, hundreds of people all around the world, all have the same pattern of scars that I have. And it's believed to be what is known as, what the program that I'm in is what's known as an unacknowledged special access program, part of the Black Ops shadow government end of the United States government.
Jeez. When you were on with me 3 years ago with Roger Tulsis, he of course is a staunch believer that this has been going on. Why in God's name would they put 200 implants in you and chips?
I don't know why I have so many, but I would say that each targeted individual is being tested differently from what's alleged to be happening. And I have no idea how many different types of technology may be implanted in me, but it's also believed that part of the devices, some of them may be just antennas. They may be just small pieces of the technology to extend the more complex devices. And people, I have to tell you, these technologies are so advanced that it's difficult for people to comprehend the level of sophistication.
No, I agree. And believe it, because it is so out there. Most people, like your doctors, probably say, oh, we're going to put Michael away for a little bit.
That's right.
This technology that they've used, do you think this was done to control you? Are you a Manchurian candidate? Are they testing to see if they can make you do something one day? What do you think they're trying to do?
Well, I know that they're trying from I experienced three aspects of this crime, and it has a lot of different aspects, a lot of different parts to it. There's the organized stalking, the electronic harassment, both which seem to lend themselves toward the antithesis of the program, which would be mind control. And since this has happened to me, I would have to say I've noticed that what's happening to me is noticeable, and I noticed the difference between the way I was before I became targeted and the way that I am now. And I would say that sadly, I exhibit some of the signs and symptoms of mind control.
I was going to say, what are some of those symptoms? Do you hear voices? Do you hear ringing in tones and things? What are they doing?
I don't get the V2K, the voice to skull technology, which is a proven to exist and work technology. That's a declassified technology. I don't receive that. I'm the victim of a different type of acoustic weaponry called subliminal silent sound presentation, which is not silent. I hear a very loud electronic sound constantly that's changing in pitch and in volume, and it's an electronic noise. It's nothing natural. But I would say that some of the signs and symptoms that I notice are a compulsion to look at the clock to see what time it is.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I do that, it is always exactly at the top or the bottom of each hour.
Wow.
Right down to the second. And also being woken up in the middle of the night at the exact same time every day. And also receiving the induced artificial dreams. That's another big sign of that mind control and mind conditioning is being deliberately imposed on me.
Are you a test, or are you the real deal that they're using?
I believe that I'm part of a massive field test and illegal clinical trial of human experimentation with classified technologies, seeing really how far, what it takes to break the human spirit, the human mind, how long it takes to change a person. Because in this technology, with this technology, you know, you have something called trauma-based behavior modification. And by keeping the target, me, in a constant, frightened, anxious state, it's possible to, over time, subtly change the person's emotions and their urges. And by doing that, by changing a person's emotions and urges, you can actually control their mind.
This is just remarkable. Tell us this. Well, we're going to run into the break. I want to get the story of the implant that was in your jaw, Michael.
Yes.
But for people, well, here's the thing. You talked about symptoms. What are some of the other symptoms for people who think they may be implanted to try to decide if they have them?
I can give you a couple of things. It's frightening. For people that have been are experiencing the signs and symptoms of mind control, one of the things to look for you're being influenced to forget something, especially your short-term memory. You may be boiling water on the stove, and suddenly you get distracted and walk away from it. Or you're washing something in the sink, and you turn away and you leave the water running, and you forget. It's very dangerous what can happen to you. Your short-term memory is so impaired, so you really need to focus and make sure that those things don't become a problem. But that's a sign and symptom. Also, severe mood swings. And also, here's one that I find that happens to me, is that when I hear a song, even if I'm walking through a store and it's mm-hmm. background music, portions of that song or a commercial jingle will get stuck in my head for days, weeks, sometimes even months on end. Not a natural recall or memory. It's something that's being looped. Only a portion of the song will be heard repetitively over and over. That's another big sign of that mind control is probably being imposed upon you.
When you were kept for a few weeks, as far as in an institution, how'd they let you go? Think about that when we come back, Michael. Welcome back with Michael Fitzhugh Bell. His book, of course, is called The Invisible Crime. And, Michael, where do you get the book, by the way? Where is it available?
It's available at Barnes & Noble and on Amazon and through my website, www.invisiblecrime.com.
Okay. Now, is it safe or accurate to say that you were institutionalized?
Well, I was illegally detained, yes. I was illegally detained against my will for no good reason at three different hospitals within a six-month period where additional surgeries covert illegal surgeries were performed on me without my knowledge, consent, or permission.
Now, when you say without your knowledge, how could somebody cut on you and you not know that? What happened?
Well, I was being—they forced me while I was in the psychiatric evaluation. They told me that if I didn't take the medications that they were giving me, that I would be forced to stay there even longer. If I wanted to get out of there, I had to play ball, so to speak. So, when I was taking certain medications that knocked me out or made me go to sleep, that's when I was taken to other areas of the hospital for the more complex surgeries.
How did you finally get out? Because you played ball?
Yes, I had no choice. I was originally... What usually happens to targets is they get in for a 72-hour evaluation, which usually extends into 2-3 weeks or even a month. That's what usually generally happens to all the people that are being targeted at one point or another.
Let's talk about this lower jaw implant that you had. Tell us about it. Why do you think it was put there? Then what happened to it? And by the way, we've got some pictures you sent us from your site at coasttocoastam.com that people can look at. They are remarkable. But go ahead, Michael.
Yes. Well, I traveled around the world collecting the evidence that was overwhelming, that doctors around the world would see these. I had the scars, and I wanted that area MRI'd or ultrasounded. When you go to Europe, you can just command that. As long as you have the money, you can tell them, listen, I want to get an MRI of my face or of my hand, whatever you want. As long as you have the money to pay for it, they'll do that. In this country, you need to get the doctor to approve it. You need to get a prescription for that imaging, and your insurance may or may not cover it. But it's even if you have insurance, it's going to cost you a fortune. But what happened to me is I had my face MRI'd. And I include that image in the book, and you can see in the bottom of the image, it kind of looks like you can just see the face, and in the bottom, in the lower part, in the where the jaw is, you can see two on either side. You can see they're corresponding and symmetrical in their placement. Four very dense, bright white objects, and that was before I had the one removed from my lower jaw. There was four, now there's only three. I went to about 10 to 12 different ear, nose, and throat specialists to get this. I could feel it in the bottom of my, there's still other ones there too that I can feel. It felt like around the size of about a half of a BB, the size of a BB, a very small, maybe like a third of the size of a Tic Tac.
Okay.
You know what that is.
Could you feel it if you touched it?
I could feel it, and it was loose and floating underneath the skin. And I finally got one specialist who agreed to extract it. So I went in one day for the visit to set up the extraction. And he said, sure, I'll take it out. When I went back a week later to have it extracted, he was a completely different person. He was all business, and whereas he just thought he was going to take something out, obviously someone had contacted him and informed him of whatever he removes from me, I'm not allowed to keep it. Usually the chain of custody goes to the person who it's being removed from, whether it's a piece of glass or a splinter or a bullet, shrapnel, whatever's in that person, whatever's removed, the chain of custody, the ownership is the person it's being removed from. But in this case, the doctor would not let me keep it and insisted that it went to pathology, and it was where it was termed to be a mucoid formation. But before I left, he wouldn't let me keep it. He did allow me to photograph it. So I took several photographs, two of which are in the book, and you can actually see the tissue that attached to this foreign object, and it's smooth. It's not anything that came from nature. It's a smooth, oblong-shaped little dense object that all the nerve cells and the skin cells began to grow around, and in order to remove it, a lot of that tissue had to be cut out. So you can see in the image that it's easy to see where the tissue ends, and in this object, which I believe to be a biomedical implant, you can see where one starts and the other ends. And it's certainly not natural. And with the seriousness that the doctor, between the first visit and the extraction, you could tell that it was something very serious. Mm-hmm. And perhaps even his medical license or his life had been threatened if he were to allow me to keep it. That
wow.
It was of that much importance.
Did any of these objects get analyzed?
Well, they said they sent it to pathology, but and they told me it was a mucoid formation. But no, I also had another. To answer your question, no, they did not get analyzed or get confirmed. But it was removed, and I did get pictures of it. And I also went for another surgery in San Antonio, and there they just opened me up and closed me and didn't take anything out. And I believe that they may have actually reimplanted me with another implant during that procedure. So I came away from that, nothing taken away, and perhaps even at least one additional object implanted in me. So I haven't gotten one that was confirmed yet.
How close, Michael, do you think they need to get to you to continue to monitor you or harass you? Do they have to be like in a remote van somewhere following you, or from
afar? That's a good question. I believe now, with the sophistication of these classified technologies, that perhaps some people believe, it's widely reported, that they may be either cellular or satellite based. And in that case, I mean, wherever I go in the world, no matter how remote the area, my connection to this, to the technology, to the frequency that's reaching me, and the frequency that's coming and going from me, has been unbroken since it was activated in 2008. And I can travel. I also receive electronic harassment or electronic attacks, and those can happen even while I'm on an airplane.
And what are they like? What happens?
Oh my gosh! These people don't understand this. The term electronic harassment really should be bioelectronic torture, because the electronic assaults are severe and brutal and extreme, sometimes causing me second and third degree burns in the area that I'm being targeted out.
There are some people, Michael, that think and they have panic attacks. Might they be implanted and then something's going on that is, you know, changing them emotionally that causes these?
That's an excellent point, George. Yes. Sometimes it's believed that through the implant process, it's possible to, as I said before, to influence a person's urges or their emotions. And sometimes it's possible that you suddenly will get overwhelming feelings of fear or terror and anxiety, especially when you're out in public or driving a motor vehicle, which is really meant to make you not want to do those things and go in those places. It's kind of giving you negative reinforcement, which forces targets to become isolated and not venture out very often. And that is the entire point of the targeting, is to take the person's life away, especially with the organized stalking, is to ruin a person's life and fill it with fear and anxiety and terror.
And you believe 50% of the American public that they might have been implanted. How did they get to so many people? What do you think?
That's the numbers that I'm getting. That's in my research. It's estimated 50% of Americans have already been implanted with the RFID technology. And I can tell you, when I've examined as I said, over 95% of the people that I've examined, especially when looking at their hands, for the people that are listening that don't believe that this is true, and also it's happening to people that aren't even that aren't targeted or even aware that they've been targeted. It's happening in a multitude of different ways. It can happen when you go in for an elective surgery, when you go in for minor dental work. It can also be done the way that it was done to me, covertly. Someone can just come into your home and implant you right there or remove you. It's believed that certain microchips, implants can be installed, for lack of a better word, in the body through food, through vaccines. There's a host of possibilities where it's happening, but mostly I'm seeing this in my research, that it's happening in the hospitals when people go in for surgeries, and for elective surgeries in particular. While they're there, they get a lot more than they bargained for and come away with more than they ever hoped for. And for the people that don't believe that, or are unaware of this crime, I would challenge them to read my book, especially the chapter where I describe exactly where to find the scars on your body. And everyone I've looked at, every single person that I've come in contact with, nearly every single person, has the telltale, covert, tiny surgical incision scars, most of which at least the same number of people were not aware that they were there until I made them aware of them, that they're there. And in my book, I tell you exactly where to look for them. And I'm sure that some people will have their minds blown when they read the book exactly on their own body, exactly all the different spots I tell to look for, where you're going to find them. And I'm sure that some people will be terrified once they find
the scars. How many more implants do you think you have in you?
I have many, multiple. And
are you trying to get them all taken out?
I have to say I'd like to have them taken out, but there's so many. The one that they took out of my jaw, the part of my jaw is still numb.
Oh, God.
From removing it. I mean, to remove all of these implants, it was easy to put them in, but to remove them, you'd literally have to butcher your body to remove them all.
Yeah, I could see that. Now, are there times, Michael, that when you're trying to sleep, they do something and you can't sleep?
Oh, that's another sign of the electronic harassment, mind control, severe sleep deprivation. At the exact moment that you're drifting off to sleep, you will receive a strong electronic shock that gives you a feeling of panic and surprise just as you're going to sleep, and then you get past that and relax again, and this is repeated over and over, and you're denied sleep. And then what happens is you continue to try to go to sleep, and then eventually when you do, you're allowed to go to sleep, that's when the induced artificial dreams are forced upon you. That's what happens to me.
I understand you have been in the CIA, but that's the Culinary Institute of America, right?
That's correct, yes.
So you're trained as that.
Yes.
How do you think they found you? I mean, you were right, you were in Hollywood. Do you think Hollywood was the way they found you? And again, you were telling us, you know, because you're a loner and things like that, that may have singled you out. But
Yes. Somebody
somewhere must have known you and turned your name into them.
It's possible. The reasons can be, the reasons that people can be targeted are jealousy, hate, envy, just for the sport of it, and sometimes at random. But what's happening is that the the ultimate perpetrators, the criminals at the very top of the food chain of this that are causing this crime, are believed to be, it's a collusion between multinational corporations, the black ops shadow part of the United States government, and the global criminal syndicate. It's kind of an alliance between these three. That's what's believed to be happening. So the reach, the criminal reach, is extensive, and there is no aspect of society that this crime doesn't touch, especially if you receive the organized stalking. There is literally nowhere that you're going to go where you're not going to receive that kind of negative attention from people. The community intimidation, the stalking, but it's, and also I wanted to say that you look at where is this stuff coming from? Where is this technology, these classified technologies, coming from? It's believed to be coming from the multinational corporations which are involved on a global scope in the design, manufacture, deployment, and use of sophisticated electronic weapon systems. And it's up to them how they want to distribute them to people. And from what I understand, the criminals, certainly at the community level, that have access to these classified technologies, these exotic electronic weapon systems, are given carte blanche is how they want to use them, and to how they want to torture the victims, because they are indeed being tortured right in their own homes, or wherever they travel. There's no escaping it.
Do you think they originally started with animals doing this?
It's possible. Well, you look at Jose Delgado with the bull implant. I believe that's where it may have started. But I mean, even the Manchurian Candidate, the novel written by Richard Condon,
yeah,
about the political assassin, that was just a novel, but it was based on the real life MKUltra CIA illegal mind control program that did use microchips on human subjects, and trigger words, and mind conditioning. And I'm sure it started on animals, but obviously that was a precursor to where it was going to end up, on human beings. For the end goal is believed to be human enslavement and depopulation.
Michael, when we come back, let's find out exactly why you wrote the book, The Invisible Crime, of course, the warnings, of course, and some of the advice you're out to give so many people. And we'll open up the phone lines for questions with Michael Fitzhugh Bell, or perhaps your own personal story. Maybe you were implanted.